Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. What is it that brings a person to the knowledge of their sin? What is it that brings a sinner to the church? What does the church have to offer someone who knows that they are a sinner? Some pastors and people think that the church needs to talk and teach less about sin and forgiveness and doctrine and to do a better job at addressing people's day-to-day needs. This has led many to take surveys to see what their people want, to find out what their biggest challenges in life are, and then to focus and direct their attention on these needs. By addressing these felt needs, the thought goes, then the people will love us. Then they will come to us. Then we will be able to deal with the other stuff too. As one famous person said, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. But the problem is, most people's felt needs aren't their real needs. Most people, even many Christians, don't know Christian doctrine. Many think that Christianity can be summed up by the golden rule, treat others as you wish to be treated. But that's to summarize Christianity as law. Since most don't know Christian doctrine, they don't know what God says about them and about their sins, and so they don't understand their real needs. They know what they want, but not what they need. In this way, the strategy by many churches of meeting felt needs misses the entire point and leaves consciences burdened and people ignorant of the things of God. For most people don't feel the need for forgiveness because they don't really reckon their sin or don't even know that they have sin. Still, their lack of instruction and knowledge doesn't or shouldn't change Christ's mission or his method. It is Christ's church. It is he, the one who is the Savior of all sinners. That means the church is about Jesus the Savior, not Jesus the financial planner, not Jesus the politician who will fix everything, not Jesus the moral philosopher, not Jesus the advice columnist. Jesus is the Savior of sinners. That is the message of Christianity. So that is the message of his church. That is the very point of Sunday. But if you don't see that you're a sinner, if you don't have this knowledge of the seriousness of your sin and God's holiness, if you do not recognize that you cannot love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind and love your neighbor as yourself, then you won't be interested in the message of the church. You won't have a felt need for this word or for this holy day. The reason that many Christian churches across our country are getting smaller and smaller is because they aren't talking about the real things. They aren't teaching about sin and about Christ's cross and about his righteousness, but about felt needs and temporal problems. The reason that the people aren't going to church anymore is because they happen to know something about their wretched condition, about their sin, for the law is written on their hearts, and yet they go to church and they don't get any help. They don't hear about Jesus the Savior. They get Jesus the great example that we should follow. They get Jesus the one who did all things well that you should imitate. They get do unto others as you would have done to you. They get more law, and it kills them, and it condemns them, and it cannot save them. They know their problem, but they never get the solution. They never get to Jesus, the forgiving, merciful, died for you Jesus. And because they haven't been taught Jesus' doctrine, They don't even know that they aren't being well fed. Today is not unlike the condition of Jesus' day in all the synagogues, in all the towns that were around Jerusalem. The faithful attended to hear the word, but it had become so that there was only law, only dealing with temporal issues, self-righteousness that justified. No gospel, no salvation, no real hope. So what does Jesus do to answer this problem, to fix this condition? He doesn't ask them what they want to hear. He doesn't ask them what they think they need. He doesn't give them a moralizing sermon and tell them to work harder and do better. He says to them, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. And he commissions and sends 72 new vicars into the towns and villages in which he is to go on his way to Jerusalem. He sends them with a singular purpose. Go and do not greet anyone on the road. Go and take nothing extra with you. Go, this word is important. Go as sheep among wolves. Enter this town and that, and speak a word of peace. And if they receive your peace, then stay with them in that house and tell them that the kingdom of heaven has come near. Heal the sick and raise the dead. Point them to me. Prepare them for me. Live on whatever they give you, for you're taking nothing of your own to trust in. You have nothing to give them except for that which I have given you, that which I want them to have. If they will not listen, if they will not receive you, then neither have they received me. And if they're only interested in having their ears itched and their felt needs met, then shake that dust off of your feet against them and tell them anyway. Tell them that the kingdom of heaven has come near to them, but they have rejected him. From all of this, and from this text and Jesus' comparison to Sodom, from his reference to the day of judgment, you should see that doctrine matters. Knowledge of God's word, what has come before and what is still yet to come, matters. You can see here that sin is no laughing matter. Also, you can see that the greatest sin is not inhospitality. It's not homosexuality. It's not any sexual sin. It's not any of the sin of the second table of the law. The greatest sin is the rejection of God's kingdom, the rejection of God himself, the rejection of the only Savior from sin and death. Not because it's quantitatively more severe than the other sins, but how can you be saved if you reject the only one who can save you? The one who hears you hears me, and the one who rejects you rejects me, and the one who rejects me rejects the one who sent me. The sad reality is, not everyone wants to hear about God and his grace in his Son, Jesus Christ. Some people much prefer the darkness of their rebellion and sin. It's too comfortable and familiar. Others want to work hard to continue justifying themselves before God rather than to be a beggar and to accept full pardon from Christ alone. Where there is no repentance for sin, there is also no acceptance of this gospel message. This word of law is a hard word, for it kills. And many, though they have ears to hear, refuse to hear it. And that sometimes carries with it real earthly consequences for the ones that Christ sends, his pastors. Sometimes they actually do shoot the messengers. Sometimes they want him to speak a different word that will soothe their itching ears. Sometimes they want him to adopt a different mission and different methods than Jesus' mission and methods. And if he will not submit to their will, when he will not do what they want, when he will not do what those who do not even know what they need or what God's word says, well, then they turn against him and they kick him out of the house and they must leave him to the side. When he will not do what they want, they must drive him away. But is this what God wants? He wants all to hear and receive the truth. He wants His peace to be left on them. He wants His method and means, His word and sacraments to be used to convert and save. But still, the house that rejects Him must have the dust shaken off against it, and the preacher must cry and leave. The church doesn't adopt the standards of the world to market her goods. We have nothing for sale here. The church preaches Christ crucified for sinners, pours water over heads, marks with the name of the cross. The church has everything to give, and it costs nothing. She feeds with Christ's own body and blood in His meal. The church preaches a law that condemns everybody. It spares absolutely no one, for no one is righteous, not even one. And this law crushes the one who believes himself to be righteous. It drives guilty sinners to beg for God's mercy in His Son, and the church speaks His full pardon and forgiveness. This is by no means a felt needs preaching. No one puts on a survey that they're looking for a clean conscience. But that is what they need. And that is what God has given His church, His ministers, His people to do. We don't manipulate God by doing all this religious stuff. We don't gain members by gimmicks and meeting felt needs either. God alone is in charge. It is His church. He causes His word to be preached and heard, and His Spirit converts and creates faith and gives life when and where it pleases Him. He's the one who condemns us with His law. He's the one who saves us through His Son. God's plan and method to grow His church, to bring more people into His kingdom, is to send out these little preaching lambs in the midst of hungry, devouring wolves. To send out messengers who will speak the kingdom, speak of Jesus the Savior, and who will give His peace. To provide witnesses, those who will confess His name, no matter what the cost is to them personally. It is His desire that all of us would take seriously the learning and the knowing of His truth from His word, and to confess it in our daily vocations and lives. The Lord urges us to ask and urge our pastors to preach this word, to support the ministry as God gives us means and opportunity. For by this, sinners receive what they really need, regardless of what their felt needs might be. And when you have come to know the depth of your depravity and sin, when you know your real condition and need, no one needs to tell you the importance of being in church. For this is the place where God's word is taken seriously, where your sin is not winked at, and where there is someone who can do something about it. The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into His harvest field. What is it that brings a person to the knowledge of their sins? Only God's holy law. What is it that brings a sinner to church? The very same thing that brings a hungry beggar to a soup kitchen, and a homeless man to the door of a shelter, and a sick man to a hospital. The need that the person has, and the knowledge of a place where that real need can be met. What does the church have to offer someone who knows that they are a sinner? Peace. Jesus. His forgiveness, life, and salvation. Sinners come to church not because they're righteous already, but to be forgiven and covered in the blood of the one who is. Satan and all of his miserable angels can't stand against Christ and His righteousness, not against His church, not even against the youngest one in the church who has been baptized and ushered into the kingdom. Rejoice then that God's word drives out the devil. Rejoice that water poured over you was a saving flood that led you to life everlasting. Rejoice that God's word has actually forgiven your sins and broken the chains that bind you to the devil, the world, and your own flesh. Rejoice that God loves you. And rejoice that your name, like Wyatt's name, is written in heaven. Jesus has come as the mighty Redeemer. See now the threatening strong one disarmed. Jesus breaks down all the walls of death's fortress, brings forth the prisoners triumphant, unharmed. Satan, you wicked one, own now your master. Jesus has come, he the mighty Redeemer. Jesus has come as the King of all glory. Heaven and earth, oh, declare his great power. Capturing hearts with the heavenly story, welcome him now in this fast fleeting hour. Ponder his love, take the crown he has for you. Jesus has come, he the King of all glory. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, guards and keeps your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.